everybody. Welcome to the Wolverine 24/7 podcast, your audio source for all things Michigan football, basketball, and recruiting. And welcome to Illinois listeners to the Illini Inquirer podcast, your audio source for all things Illinois football, basketball, and recruiting. I'm Zach Shaw. Jamie Werner joining me on the phones here. And so last week for the Michigan listeners, we did a little mashup podcast with David Eicholt. Got a lot of positive reviews, so we're bringing it back this week as the Wolverines prepare to take on the Illini. The Illini Inquirer podcast also runs a couple times a week. They have their whole deal as well. But Jeremy, we can just jump right into questions if you're ready. Illinois. Yeah. First thing that stands out to me, at least you know when I'm doing the preliminary research, is the talent has improved. The team talent composite that our 24/7 sports site does a great job of where guys were ranked as recruits. That has drastically improved, at least from what I can gauge, just in the last couple of years, whether it's transfers, active transfers, getting recruits, some high-profile recruits both in-state and from other areas. How has that gone down? And then has it translated onto the field yet, or is that still a work in progress?
Yeah, Zach, there's no question Lovie Smith has a more talented roster than he inherited. I think he's done a pretty good job of getting Illinois into bigger recruiting battles, whether that's Isaiah Williams and Marquez Beeson, two top, mm-hmm. 250 kids who signed this past year. Sadly, both have been hurt. Beeson out for the year, and Williams just kind of had nagging injuries here. But, he's gotten top 500 kids, which for Illinois is a big deal. They hadn't been getting many of those when Tim Beckman was here. They got a lot of them when Ron Zook was here. But their defensive line, offensive lines have greatly improved their talent. But at the end of the day, like you said, if it doesn't come with winning, then that points usually to coaching. And, Lovie Smith inherited a disaster of a program, so much turmoil here. But, he's now on three recruiting classes. He's now in his fourth year. The offense is in its second year. And most of us thought this would be better. Lovie Smith told us it would be better. They expected to compete for a bowl game. And they had one of the easiest starts of their schedule ever. They had the easiest non-conference. And then they lose to the school a couple miles down the road from you guys at Eastern Michigan, which Chris Creighton's doing a heck of a job there, but they just lost to Central Michigan by 20-something points. So that's the first big warning sign for Illini fans. Then, Nebraska, the score looks okay. If you're like a Michigan fan, you're going to score. Hey, Illinois competed. They're up two touchdowns with 16 minutes left in that game, and they had four takeaways, and they still found a way to lose because they gave up almost 700 yards of offense to Scott Frost. And then last week in Minnesota, it wasn't really even that competitive of a game after the first half. So, and that's a program that Illinois fans are going to compare themselves to because, Minnesota and PJ Fleck, they beat last year. Ever since then, Minnesota's 8-1, and Illinois is 2-6. So, yeah, the talent is no doubt better, but that's why everyone's so frustrated here because they see that. They see the transfers who have come here and how big of an upgrade they are at wide receiver and Wole Betiku at defensive end and eventually Luke Ford at tight end. But at the same time, if it's not coming out to wins, that reflects poorly on the coaching staff. And Zach, I kind of put it out there 2 weeks ago after Illinois lost to Nebraska, who was on the hottest seat. Was it Lovie Smith or Jim Harbaugh? And I said, no question, Lovie Smith, because I know nationally people talk about Harbaugh all the time. But I just see how much he's improved that program, even if it's not quite to the spot they want. But I know he's improved the talent. He's improved the record. Lovie Smith's improved the talent, but he hasn't improved the record. So, the hot seat talk, I think, should be much more here at Illinois than Michigan. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, you have a much better sense than I do of just what kind of disaster it was that Lovie Smith inherited. I've said on our shows, Illinois is a school you want to make sure you have the right guy, and that's the eternal question. But at the same time, it is something that might take 5 or 7 years, at least from the outside perspective. But a lot of the things you're saying sound a lot like maybe at a different level, but it sound a lot like what Michigan is going through. Last season they were a good team. They beat everyone that they faced that wasn't a top 10 team, and they were 0-3 against the top 10 teams. So good team, not a great team. And I know Jim Harbaugh said that after the Peach Bowl when they got romped by Florida. And then he immediately hires Josh Gattis. They make a few other coaching changes. It seemed like all offseason was spent thinking this is going to be an offensive-oriented team. they're adapting some RPO concepts, a little bit more of a pro spread offense, high flying senior quarterback, maybe the best, you know, offensive talent in the Big Ten with 9 returning starters. And so, again, different school, but similar story where there is talent. There's a lot of on paper improvements that are expected, and you know they're 4-1. So I don't know if it's. I really think that second loss is when people start bringing out the microscopes. But 14 points in regulation against Army, 14 points against Wisconsin, and that was well after the game was settled, and then 10 points against Iowa in a win. But suddenly it's what was, as you kind of point out, if the talent's there and the experience is there, do you start to look at the coaching?
Right.
And there is some execution things. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I totally get, like, frustration. So, like, when I came off as, like, saying the hot seat thing, I get the frustration of Michigan fans that want to be at that elite level, right? Like, that's where they want to be. And when you hire Jim Harbaugh and you give him all that money, that's the expectation. It's just for me, like, I've seen that program improve, right? I think of the 7 years before, and they were, what, 8 games under 500.
I think
and with him,
the actual record
in the Big Ten.
Oh, I was just going to say, it was 7 years before, because I have this in your story that you'll have the 5 questions with the Michigan writer. 46-42 in the 7 years prior, and they are 42-15 since. So there's improvement.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things. It's the constant battle I think Michigan fans have to go through is their improvement, but each year they are below Ohio State, and every year that they lose to another good team on the road or lose another bowl game, I think fans wonder, well, how good can it get? Is this the ceiling with Jim? Is there someone else that can find a new ceiling? And I feel for Michigan fans because you have a rival that you go toe-to-toe with for decades and decades, and suddenly they're just running laps around you and everyone else in the Big Ten. That's where the seat gets warm, is I think if this Michigan team kind of fades and they go to an 8-4, 7-5 type deal, I do think people start to look around and say, well, what 10-3 is not supposed to be the good years. That's supposed to be kind of the baseline year. So it's a different standard, but the same kind of thing where if you see it happen year after year after year, and this is the first team that's all Harbaugh's guys, then you start to look around and say, is there more? Is there something else that needs to happen? Right. What needs to change?
Yeah, I totally get that. But then there's also does the floor drop out with the wrong guy? If you hire the wrong guy. But
For Illinois,
I think the question is, you know, if Lovie Smith can't win with his most talented team yet and the guys with his roster, I mean, most of this roster returns next year for Illinois. They're a bunch of juniors. But what makes you think he could be the guy? Because, I mean, Lovie Smith's supposed to be a defensive guy, right? Just like Jim Harbaugh's supposed to be an offensive guy. So there's kind of a parallel here. But the biggest issue for Illinois has been they have had some of the worst defenses in Illinois history here. They're giving up, I think it's the last 11 games in the Big Ten, the last 2 years, so mostly when he's had his recruits, giving up 45 points per game, more than 580 yards, almost 300 yards on the run in the run game. So it's a great chance for Michigan's offense to get right. But that's the frustration. If you have a defensive coach and he's not coaching defense, then you have to make a change now. Because I agree with you, Zach. I think the right guy at Illinois probably needed, you know, 5, 6, 7 years to really get to, you know, maybe being the next, if it's Michigan State or, you know, Iowa or wherever you want to get to ultimately. But, I mean, the goal only this year was be close to a bowl, 5-7, 6-6 was really the goal. But even for me, 5-7 and competitive, I think, yeah, that's a step forward. And maybe you do have a breakthrough year in 2020. But right now they're sitting at probably looking at 2-5 with Michigan and Wisconsin the next couple weeks. And then can you beat Purdue, who's really bad right now? Can you – Rutgers they should beat, but then you have Northwestern. I don't know if they can score on them. So that's where Illinois fans are at. That's why I think the attendance won't be as good as it should be for Michigan coming to town for the first time in a while.
Yeah. So I have a question about the defense because you're mentioning these stats and you mentioned you have a defensive coach. And for those Michigan fans who start to look at the stats and Illinois is getting to the quarterback. You know, they've got a lot of sacks on the season. I guess what do you see as the whole of the defense? And then is there an identity if it is this?
Well, the identity, and I think most people know this from Lovie Smith era. I mean, the Tampa 2 defense is kind of, you know, what his base is. They like the two high safeties, and they do force a lot of takeaways. It's something they have been good at the last couple of years. They're one of the best in the country at forcing fumbles. They have multiple interceptions. Actually, at Minnesota, they scored 2 touchdowns on defense. That's where both their touchdowns came from. So they will make big plays that way. The problem is you're looking for a strength. I think their linebackers are pretty solid to good. Jake Hansen's been probably the defensive MVP. He's got 5 takeaways by himself this year. A former Michigan commit, Dele Harding, is leading the guys in tackles, and he's had a couple big interceptions, including a pick 6 last week against Minnesota. So those guys have been pretty good. But you mentioned the sacks. They do have a lot of sacks, but most of those came in the first 2 games against Akron and UConn. So those numbers are really, really inflated. Wole Batiku, who most people mention coming up because he's got 7 sacks and one of the nation's leaders in sacks, he got 5 of those in the first 2 games, including 3.5 against UConn. So UConn and Akron, they kind of got fat statistically on that. Those 2 teams are 2 of the bottom teams in the country. But I believe it's the last 3 weeks they have a combined 4. So they do get some penetration. Defensive tackle Jamal Milan is pretty good. Jamal Woods can create some disruption, but they just can't stop the run. It is something that has been an issue in Lovie Smith's entire tenure. I don't think they're talented enough up front quite yet. Bobby Rountree, their best player last year, tragically had that spinal cord injury, so he might never play football again, most likely. So he's recovering in Chicago, but that was an absolute blow to them. But they also just, their tackling is awful. I'm actually writing a big story on this. And, you know, Lovie Smith's one of those guys who doesn't like to tackle in practice. It's what they do in the NFL. But, you know, Mark D'Antonio and Kirk Ferentz tackle in practice for a reason. And those teams are usually pretty good at it. But they have just missed so many tackles that lead to big plays. And some people just wonder if this defense is built to stop Big Ten offenses and college offenses. So I know Michigan's offense has struggled with Josh Gattis. I'm interested in your thoughts on that, Zach, but this is probably a nice get-right game for them because, you know, the defensive line hasn't been getting a lot of disruption the last couple of weeks. And really the secondary, which we thought was going to be pretty good this year, actually, it's been pretty disappointing, whether it's safeties, tackling, or missing some assignments in the pass game. It's hard to find a strength of this Illinois defense right now.
Sure. Yeah, no, and Michigan needs to play Illinois right now, I think. You know, I mentioned the point totals, but, you know, even rushing the ball, I remember at Wisconsin they rushed for only 40 yards, which is pretty low, but I went back and watched the film and tried to track how long they had before the running back was hit, so yards before contact, so to speak. They had 11 yards before contact on 13 carries, and it's just, I mean, that means you're going nowhere. There were plays where Wisconsin was getting to the running back before the running back was getting the ball, like when you turn offsides off in Madden mode. And so it's just, you know, everyone knew the run game was going to struggle at least a little bit. Zach Charbonnet, for Illinois fans, I could see him having a big game here if the struggles are as you describe. He's a former top 50 recruit. He's a true freshman from California. He's had a little bit of some knee soreness the past couple weeks, so his carries are limited, but he rushed for 190 yards in the first 2 games of the year. Christian Turner, he's a quick, you know, quick smaller back from Georgia, has had some issues with pass protection and some major miscues that have kept him out of the game. You know, they had to sit him out for a couple series. And then True Wilson's the running back. He's a little bit more reliable. He just had a broken hand suffered in week 1. So the running backs, I could see them statistically doing better. I don't think Michigan's even necessarily expecting them to carry the offensive load this season. It really comes down to Shea Patterson and the receivers. Donovan Peoples-Jones, Tariq Black, Nico Collins, all former top 150 recruits, all guys who scouts think can go pro. Now, you know, they do have to produce in games. You can't just be jacked and agile and quick. You know, you do actually have to put up some numbers and get some good catches. And they have in glimpses, but for some reason or another, turnovers have hurt. I do think playing Wisconsin and Iowa defenses hurt 2 top 10 defenses based on a variety of statistics. But really, I think the biggest sign of where this offense is that Ronnie Bell has been the best receiver, and he was a 2-star recruit. Michigan was his only FBS offer. He was going to play basketball at Missouri State. And so it's, but he's just able to improvise. And I think that this offense is really stiff. And I don't know if it's learning the new scheme. I don't know if it's a holdover from last year. But for some reason or another, Shea Patterson, if he's put off schedule, I don't know that he makes the right reads. And I don't know if he makes the right decisions about running versus throwing. I know his running is a little skewed right now just because he suffered an oblique injury the first play of the game of the season. He was hit on his side and fumbled the ball, and that seemed to, according to the coaches and the players, it lingered for a couple weeks. But you know, against Iowa, felt like there were a lot of open players that he just couldn't find. And then for some of the primary reads in his progression, guys just weren't getting open. And Iowa, solid defense, sure, but this is supposed to be an offense that is top 10-esque. That was what Josh Gattis was hired to produce.
Right.
He's definitely, his seat's warming up very quickly now, because, you know, it's one thing to struggle here and there. It's the Big Ten. Sometimes you'll have games where you don't score a lot. Good teams and great teams even have that. But suddenly we're five games in, and this is an offense that really every across the board has regressed. And I know you had the question, you know, how is this was a team many people expected to win the Big Ten. What has changed? I think one thing that has changed is Penn State and Wisconsin look a little bit better with their new quarterbacks than maybe some expected. But the other thing that has changed is some of the things Michigan was leaning on, quarterback, receiver. They returned four starting offensive linemen, three of which I think will be drafted next spring, or at least before the season, I thought that. And then four of which had all Big Ten honors of some kind. It's really been a struggle. And so when the things that you're expecting to be good, those were supposed to be kind of the anchor points of Michigan's team this year. Meanwhile, the defense, plenty of encouraging things there. Maybe we can talk about that in a moment. But, you know, the O-line has struggled, the quarterback has struggled, and the receivers have really struggled. And hard to tell from the press box if it's scheme or execution, but I think either way, with the returning experience and the talent, I do think you have to look pretty harshly at the coaching.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you, you know, from the outside, you know, not being just consuming Michigan every day, like, you know, Jim Harbaugh, known as the offensive guy from Stanford with Andrew Luck, all those guys, and being in the NFL, what he did with Kaepernick and all those guys. What was the reason, or were you guys surprised he made a big change like that? And do you think he could actually change back, or did he make this change for Shea Patterson? I know he's got some more talented guys like McCaffrey and Mixon back there too, right? So, like, is there a time that he would turn to one of those guys?
Yeah, I think it became pretty apparent against Florida and Ohio State that Harbaugh's offense had gone stale. And I think every coach has those kind of moments where, well, you know, and football isn't the same as it was 10 years ago, and it sure isn't the same that it was.
I think Illinois fans are still waiting for Lovie Smith to do that. Interesting.
and so it was last year they ran a lot, largely because Caron Higdon was, I mean, I think he had almost 1,200 yards rushing. He could carry the offense, and you know, why risk it? Why mix it up if that's what's working for the most part? I have some reasons why, but if you're Jim Harbaugh, at Stanford, you know, their offense was good. I don't know that it really did seem like their defense, you know, they played a lot of low-scoring games, a lot of possession football. And I think, looking back, I wonder if that just threw the Pac-12 for a loop, whereas at Michigan, Big Ten teams are kind of used to seeing, they see Wisconsin every year. You know, they see some of these other teams, Iowa, teams that really like to do a power run game, and they'll pass, but maybe it's not. It's more pro-style passing. So I don't know. I wasn't surprised he changed it, because that was the main thing. Every fan, every media reporter said, if Michigan wants to be good next year, they have to go get a modern offensive coordinator. It doesn't have to be a total switch. They did do a total switch, but they have to do something to modernize this offense. And as you mentioned, it's not just Shea Patterson, he's kind of that middle infielder, not quite dual threat, but athletic enough to provide a second threat and keep defenses on their toes. But Dylan McCaffrey, who's faster, I mean, his brother's maybe the best running back in the NFL right now, so he's got some speed. And then Joe Milton, as you mentioned, you know, he's compares himself to Cam Newton. I don't know if he's got Cam Newton's speed or elusiveness, but big armed, big body, and athletic enough to make some plays. And so I think Harbaugh looked at the quarterbacks he had and said, well, I can't ask him to be, I don't know, John Navarre or Tom Brady or guys who just don't really run the ball at all.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think Peters at one point had a pretty good 40 time, but yeah, he's not known for being an athletic, RPO, at least at Michigan in his time, wasn't known for the RPO capabilities. And so yeah, it was to keep defenses on their heels. So far, again, hard not to look at the first time coordinator and first time play caller in Josh Gattis and say that is the difference. That's the independent variable compared to last year versus this year. But everything's a read in their offense. It doesn't always seem genuine. I think defenses have started to gauge when Shea Patterson might actually keep the ball versus when he won't. It's a work in progress, but at the same time, with Michigan's schedule, you can't really have a work in progress. You have Penn State next week and then Notre Dame the week after. You still have Michigan State and Ohio State too. So we'll see how it goes. I do think a game against Illinois can help maybe Patterson find a groove, help maybe the offensive line gain some confidence. We'll see. I mean, if they can get a nice pass rush, then maybe not so much. But I do want to ask about Illinois' offense too. Rod Smith, he's a name familiar to Michigan fans.
Yeah.
I don't think he's looked upon overly fondly. There were some nice plays and some nice games here and there. What has he added? And you mentioned Lovie Smith. You're still trying to. Fans are still waiting for him to modernize and to adapt his approach. Mm-hmm. Is that a defensive thing, or are there some things on offense that maybe have gone a little stale too?
Well, if you would ask Illinois fans coming into the year what gives them most faith, it would have been Rod Smith in this offense. Rod completely changed the face of what they did last year. I think he did modernize things. He went from Garrett McGee, who had some of the worst offenses in Illinois history and had this kind of Louisville approach without the Louisville talent, and tried this power run scheme when Illinois was undersized, and it didn't work in the Big Ten. But then they bring in Rod Smith, who kind of has this, Rich Rod offense. I know it didn't work when Rich Rod was there.
Well, the offense worked. Sorry to cut you off. The offense worked well. The defense, they just completely forgot about.
Yeah. I mean, Brady Hoke had success with those guys too, right, with like Denard, who those guys recruited. But, offensively, I think that thing was working. It's just, yeah, you were right, defensively it wasn't. But Rod, I mean, he brought in a grad transfer quarterback last year in A.J. Bush, and while he wasn't a good thrower, he was an elite runner, and it really just opened things up with Reggie Corbin. Mike Epstein, who got hurt again this year, was really good. But they were one of the best running teams in the country. They were number 2 in the Big Ten behind Wisconsin, number 12 overall in the country. So we thought, even with Brandon Peters coming in here, the offensive line returned 4 or 5 starters. Nick Allegretti got drafted, is gone. He's kind of been the leader of that group. But they have a pretty good offensive line and a really good running back in Reggie Corbin, who can make people miss and has put up huge numbers whoever he's played against. But it just hasn't clicked this year. Brandon Peters really opened up the passing game the first 3 games of the year. Mm-hmm. He had 9 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. But we found out the last couple weeks why he fell down on the depth chart at Michigan. He's looked tentative. He's looked really tentative in the pocket. His receivers haven't helped him, but he had 9 touchdowns to 2 interceptions the first couple weeks. The last 2 weeks, he's got 1 touchdown to 2 interceptions, completion rate under 50%. He hasn't gotten a lot of help from his receivers and some of his protection, but he's looking at a guy who's not reading the defenses very well. And he actually got out on a run, and he has been more mobile than I think he was given credit for. But Rod finally let him keep a zone read option, and Brandon kept it and had a really nice gain. And I thought, yeah, that's what Illinois needs. But then he got hit hard, looked like a concussion. I mean, Illinois hasn't confirmed anything. But so he's up in the air. But then Matt Robinson came in because Isaiah Williams is hurt. And Matt's a good athlete. Kind of gets the run game going a little bit, but he doesn't have nearly as strong of an arm. So he's a redshirt freshman, has only thrown about 33, 34 pass attempts. But it's a different offense without an elite runner like A.J. Bush. So even though Bush was, really inconsistent, maddening passer at times, he was just a battering ram and a really good athlete. And they really missed that weapon because it opened things up for everybody else.
Yeah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
No doubt. So I have a question, because you mentioned in your question to me, you think no one in Illinois is expecting an upset here. Michigan has struggled on the road, but maybe this isn't the team where that's significant. So is there a recalibration of expectations after seeing the 2-3 start? Is it higher than expected? I'm guessing it's not higher based on your tone. Is it lower than expected?
I think most people expected Illinois to be 3-0 to start the year. Mm-hmm. And once they lost Eastern Michigan, because I thought Brandon Peters would be the guy to keep you unscathed. And to his credit, Brandon Peters gave him a chance at the end of the Eastern Michigan game, but the defense couldn't get a few stops. He had two really late touchdown drives that were really, really good. But once that didn't happen, I thought this team lost confidence a little bit. But they came back against Nebraska, battled. But it just feels like one of those seasons that can get out of control pretty quick. Because they had a schedule set up to where 4-1 was possible, to where, even 5-0. Nebraska is not very good. Minnesota, I think they'll have a really good record, but they have a really favorable schedule.
Right.
That's a team that Illinois should expect to beat after beating them last year. So I think the expectations going into the year, I thought they'd be 5-7. Most Illini fans thought 6-6, but right now, even with Purdue, Rutgers, and Northwestern on the schedule, and none of those teams are very good, I think most people project 4 or fewer now, which is why a lot of Illini fans are already talking about, who the next coach is going to be. Whether Josh Whitman, the AD, will make that move. Because if they regressed after last year having a more talented team, with Lovey's defense, still putting up, historically bad numbers, I think rightfully they should. So, yeah, I expect that to change. I'm wondering from the Michigan side of things, Zach, I do expect their offense to get right in this game. But, if they're 5-1, even with how bad of a game Wisconsin was, and even Army from a watching it perspective, and, I know that people aren't all that happy with only scoring 10 points against Iowa. Is there still a path to where that team can be a double-digit win team and almost live up to expectations? Do you think that's possible?
Possible, sure. I was kind of waffling between. Well, I was all over the place before the season, but I settled on 10-2, and so I saw a path where they go under just because the schedule's tough. The crossovers.
Right.
It's Illinois, but it's also at Wisconsin and hosting Iowa, and then non-conference includes Army, who was a top 25 team last year, and then Notre Dame, who is contending for a college football playoff spot. So that's a lot of heavy hitters on the schedule. So part of me wonders if maybe fans bought in a little too much, which can happen if you return so many offensive players, and so you kind of can visualize what a successful game looks like. But there's still a path. Ohio State, I don't think that they're – not yet. Ask me in 3 weeks if you really – think anything's different, but my hunch is that that's already been decided. But they do host Michigan State. They host Notre Dame. Jim Harbaugh has only 4 losses at home in his tenure at Michigan, and they were the 2 very fluky, very close games to Michigan State, and then 2 to Ohio State. And so, I can see a path. Penn State, I'm very curious to see how they look at Iowa this weekend, because the one good defense that they faced has been Pitt. And I will say, to Michigan's credit, the defense has really greatly improved. It looked rough against Wisconsin. We just talked to defensive coordinator Don Brown. A lot of it comes down to, I think there were a lot of poor decisions made on versus when you go into a gap and when you kind of wait. and maybe see where that running back is going to go. Pursuit angles were rough. They got punched in the mouth, and they weren't paying attention. They got punched in the mouth is how I would describe that game. I think if they played now, I think it would be closer. I still think Wisconsin would win, but I don't know that it would be the bloodbath that it was. And you've seen the defensive line has grown a lot. They just had 8 sacks against Iowa, 13 tackles for loss. And then you saw they're starting to show a case a little bit of zone. This is something that Don Brown faced a lot of criticism about, that he tried to play Ohio State man-to-man defense the entire way last year. Everyone knows what that score was. And so there was some pressure on him to show some zone, and they started to. You know, we'll see what it looks like against some of the other pass-happy teams, but the results against Nate Stanley were quite good. It was one of the worst games of his career. He threw three interceptions, no touchdowns. They really only had one catch that was above the 15, 20 yards. So I think there's a path. I don't think it's over, as I kind of mentioned maybe early on in the show or before we went on. It's that second loss that'll really change the expectations. That's where people throw in the towel a little bit. But with one loss, you know, I think one comparison is 2016 Penn State. They went up to Michigan, lost 49-10, but then went on to get a lot better. Another team that had a new offense, they got a lot better, and they ended up winning the Big Ten title. So I think, and Josh Gattis was a pass game coordinator for that team. And so I think they're not quite out of it yet, but I certainly can see where Michigan fans are getting antsy, and they want to see progress. And I'm sure the team does too. You know, we've talked to Shea Patterson. I mean, he seemed real sick of the questions on Tuesday. And I don't blame him, because it's the same thing where it's, why isn't the offense better? Well, if he knew why, I'm sure he would try to figure it out. But it's unique in that it's across the board. It'd be one thing if it was just the run game or just this position group or that position group, and that's where my expectations are reserved. I'm thinking 8-4 is probably about right, just because I don't know if they'll be able to fix enough of their problems yet. So anyway, with Saturday's game,
you figure it out real pretty quick. You figured out pretty quick with Penn State and Notre Dame, right?
Right. Yeah.
What the team's made of.
Yep. Absolutely. So Jeremy, what are Illinois fans watching this game? I mean, we're gonna assume the result is what we expect, but what are some things that Illinois can show that would maybe reignite that hope, reignite that the excitement for the season, and maybe, as you mentioned, maybe change those expectations, get people off the ledge a little bit? Is there anything they can show against Michigan, or is it something that has to be done against a different opponent?
I mean, if you're in a game going into the fourth quarter, I think fans would be pretty happy with that, because I think most people will think this will be over by halftime, and because that's just kind of what they're used to. And even with the struggles of the Michigan offense, I mean, Minnesota's offense had averaged 2.6 yards per carry. Through most of that game, they were averaging about 9 against Illinois, and they ran for 300-something yards, which is triple, right? So, like, I think that's the expectation, is that Illinois is just not going to be able to be capable. But, you know, their takeaway ability with Michigan's offensive struggles, that leaves maybe a slimmer hope that this can be a competitive game. But I think for Illini fans, if this is a competitive game, one or two scores going into the fourth quarter, I think they'd be pretty elated that, hey, if we play that way, you know, play clean football for the most part, keep them under 35 points.
Okay.
I think Illini fans would feel like, hey, we can beat a Purdue. We will beat Rutgers. We have a chance to beat, you know, Northwestern or something like that. But I think the talent gap is huge. And without Brandon Peters, who has struggled, even if he has struggled, and Illinois fans are kind of looking, hey, should somebody else play? I just think his arm would open things up if you know, he could complete some passes down the field. With Matt Robinson, he just doesn't have the arm strength that I think is going to threaten Michigan. And I think, you know, as we talked about, I mean, Don Brown, I think he's going to have a pretty good game plan for an offense who, passing-wise, is just not really a threat down the field right now. So, yeah, I think most Illini fans would be happy with that. I mean, Michigan fans, are they not happy unless they score 30-something points against this kind of defense?
They're not going to be happy unless it's like 50-0. Michigan fans are a different kind of breed, especially, I mean And I don't mean this to pick on them, but it has been 15 years since a Big Ten title. Illinois has been to a Rose Bowl more recently than Michigan. You know, it's been 20 years since a top 5 finish, despite having, you know, pretty routine expectations of doing so. And then, of course, 1-14 against Ohio State. you know, that's not something that these players did, right? They've only been here for a few years. That's not even something that Jim Harbaugh did. But fans are frustrated with, you know, feeling so excited in August, and then by the time they get to November, they're already tired of it and want to switch to basketball. And so it's, I think, in some sense, I don't know if any Michigan fans are going to be, there's some fans that nothing Michigan can do will make them happy in this game. But I do think two things I'm keeping an eye on, of course, putting up the points and airing it out, because again, if they run the ball, sure, you know, keep that in your pocket, but you're probably not counting on your running backs to win you a football game this year. You might be counting on that passing attack. So I think I wouldn't be surprised if they really try to hit the downfield passing attack hard, really try to do it in games. They say they've done it in practice. We don't get to see practice. And so doing it in games apparently is a different challenge. And they haven't quite done it multiple times in a drive, or, you know, multiple drives in a row just yet. And so that's something I'm keeping an eye on. I also think, and this is maybe more of a me thing than maybe the fans, but Michigan has really struggled in road games, particularly at the start. You know, I've been fortunate enough to cover a lot of their road games under Harbaugh, all but the Rutgers ones, I believe. And so I've seen them go down to Purdue, and they're in a dogfight that they didn't expect to be in. I've seen them go to Indiana. Both times they've gone to Indiana that I've covered, it went into overtime. You know, Minnesota, they needed a goal line stand to get out of there. Maryland, there have been some sluggish efforts. You know, Penn State, Wisconsin, you've seen what those look like. The other team just comes out, and it helps to have Jonathan Taylor and Saquon Barkley, but just all of a sudden, immediately in a 14-0 hole, faster than before a lot of fans even get into their seats. And so what I've found in talking to a couple former players is that Jim Harbaugh does a lot of things well as a coach, but pep talks is not one of them. And when it's not at home and it's not a rivalry game, and you don't have the band and the banner and the big crowd and everything, they kind of come out sluggish. And so, you know, whether that's a trend now, it can't be for this team, because they still have three more road games after this, and they're going to be tougher. And so they need to, to me, I'm keeping an eye on what their body language is like early. Do they want to be there? Do they still have the chip on their shoulder? They've talked about, the phrase they've used is brick by brick since that Wisconsin game. They want to rebuild their season. And to their credit, I mean, they can. They do control their own destiny in every way. But this is a game where you can lay down some bricks. And do they come out looking like they're ready to do that? Or does it look like a get through it, looking past Illinois type of situation? That would suggest to me maybe there's still some mental toughness kinks to work out. But anything else?
Trap game aspect of this. And I would expect Rod Smith, the Illinois offensive coordinator, he should probably unload a bag of tricks for this one, right? Mm-hmm. Otherwise, Illinois, I mean, just matching up man-to-man isn't going to win that. So he's going to have to win through scheme and probably a little bit of trick. So that's what I'm interested in, because Isaiah Williams, it sounds like practice this week, they really shut down practice, what we could see this week, too. So I'm interested to see if they roll out anything, if Isaiah Williams is more involved, because he didn't even make the Minnesota trip. So I'm wondering if he'll play a bigger role for this one, because he's one of the electric playmakers. I mean, him and Reggie Corbin, I think even against Michigan, if can find some ways. It's just, you know, Isaiah Williams only played two plays so far this year. So to see him in bulk at Michigan would be interesting to see.
Okay. Anything else, Michigan listeners, since they don't necessarily read about Illinois every day, anything else they should know?
I think the basketball team will be pretty good this year.
Okay.
they're supposed to be. But also, Dick Butkus, the statue is going to be unveiled for the first time this weekend. He'll be on campus, so I'm sure he'll be at the game. But if Michigan fans are making a drive down right by the stadium, they have a Red Grange statue, which is really cool. And, you know, Illinois doesn't have a lot of recent history of success, but they obviously have a proud history of Red Grange and Dick Butkus. So you'll be able to see that unveiled if you come down and make the trip.
Cool. All right. Okay, well, with that, we can tidy this up. Thank you so much to Illini Inquirer listeners and Jeremy Werner for joining me. This has been the Wolverine 24/7 podcast. I'm Zach Shaw. Hope you had fun. Hope you learned something. And we'll continue to discuss it. Look out for lots of preview coverage. And then, of course, we'll see you at the game.